Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of Keep On Cyber Trucking. My name is Eric. We got Will, Chase here. How you guys doing?
Good.
Great. Great. Another week above ground.
Not too busy for a week. Some cool news, but I mean, that's been pretty much it. I think my truck was rented out for the most of the time, and then I was out of town for the other part of it. So, All good.
Yeah, You were busy. You were busy last week. We know that. And then, but I guess let's dive into it because we have a lot of stuff to talk about. First thing that we should talk about, I think what we should open up with is the brand new Model 3.
Hell yeah.
Let me.
Yeah, I saw all the announcement stuff, but I was watching all the earnings call shit. So it's like, I didn't say. I mean, it looks cool, whatever the specs were for it, but I was like, I didn't have my full attention.
Yeah, you were preoccupied.
Yeah.
I would like to just, you know, touch on this because I think this is a really cool addition to their lineup of vehicles. I think it's something that will give the Tesla consumer something to get excited about, given the fact that you're getting a performance vehicle at a really affordable price. Starting price is a little under $53,000. You're getting 296 miles of range, 163 miles per hour top speed, and a 2.90 to 60. Also, yeah, and they're giving you a different front bumper and rear bumper. I could toggle that right here. Yeah. You can see that there. They're giving you a rear spoiler. They're giving you different wheels. And the thing I love the most about it is, if I could find it.
The updated interiors.
Yes, that's what I got to find. Hold on. How the hell do I find that? Oh, it's in this right here. I gotta change my screen. Bear with me. There we go. So right here. So this might give a better idea. So it gives this front bumper just a little more aggressive look. The wheels, but these interior seats that they're doing now on the Plaids, and they're including the Model 3 performance model with these seats, which I think are really cool. They're more race-inspired seats. Here's that rear spoiler.
Ooh, does it come carbon fiber by default? That looks good.
The spoiler, yes.
Spoiler? Yeah.
Yeah. And then the dash. The dash is going to be carbon fiber as well. Has the Plaid logo on the back.
like it. I mean, the price point is probably the sexiest thing about it, because if you look at the Model S in comparison, just all-wheel drive Model S is $72,000 or $73,000 with a 3.1 0-60, so a little faster than a Model S. Less range, because Model S you're still about 400,000 or sorry 400,000 sorry 402 mile range for 20,000 less, and a little bit slower than a Plaid, but still, I mean, still pretty comparable. Like 2.6 2.9 seconds is still plenty fast.
Well, I think what you're going to get, the Plaid Model S is, I drove one, it's amazing. It's crazy fast. It's a beautiful car. But I think I've had a Model 3. We have a Model S right now. It's a totally different driving experience, just given the sheer size of each vehicle. The Model 3 really does feel like almost like a go-kart type of experience. It's so small and nimble. And I mean, all Teslas drive really, really nice, in my opinion. But the Model 3 is a little bit almost like more fun to drive, is maybe the way I would explain it. So, yeah, maybe it's not, the specs are a little, you know, they're close. Between just the normal Model S and the performance Model 3. But I think getting behind the wheel of one and driving it around, turning and all that, I think the Model 3 is going to feel a bit sportier.
Yeah.
My wife has a Model Y, and every time I get in it, every time I have to drive it anywhere, I'm like, this thing feels like a go-kart.
Yes.
It just has some punch and the lightweightness, the responsiveness of it. So I imagine the 3 is like even more of that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, cramming it into a performance.
Ooh, yes.
Some of the people are going to get pulled over at this thing, for sure.
Oh, 100%. Well, the first place my brain goes is that if they're updating the Model 3, obviously we had the Model 3 update, and then now like a, not really a Plaid Model 3, but a Ludicrous Model 3. And that's actually different. So like the logo, even in the seat and then on the placard on the back, is actually different than the Plaid. So it's not, it's like an insane mode, I think they're calling it, not Plaid. But the question is, when are they going to start incorporating steer by wire into these vehicles? I feel like Model S now is kind of coyed up for a steer by wire update.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe they're saving that for the Roadster. I don't know.
Yeah. I bet you it's one of those to implement it into the Model 3 will probably take more time, even though it seems simpler, just because I'm imagining that the volume that they work in for the 3 and Y, being able to change over the build of this 3 into, or 3 and Y into having steer by wire, I would just imagine would be a much bigger task than just simply, oh, it's a smaller car, it should be so easy. I don't think it would be.
I would imagine that
the S and X would get it.
I was going to say, I would imagine the X would get it before anything else, exactly for this, the reasons that you just explained, Will, that
size.
The production on it is not as much as 3 and the Y. You know, those things, they're pumping those things out all day, and so to redo
the
line.
Slow down the line.
Yeah.
The complexity of it, making changes doesn't disrupt things quite as much. Versus the 3 and Y, where they produce so many all the time. But
It's an easier lift for them to change this and add a third motor, and then it's not as big of a change to what they already have.
I had one question about this new front end, though. Is this the new front end exclusive to this one, or is it all? Oh no, the rear wheel drive and the long range still have the same old. The front fascia or whatever.
Yes. This is a different... Yeah, the performance has a different front bumper and rear.
And it is interesting because it's funny because I've always thought that the 3 and Y, the front end to me, just kind of looked cheap. It kind of looked like rubber pulled across a face or something. It's just so like blah versus the performance, where it's like, okay, it's got, like you said, it's like a little bit more aggressive a stance and look to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, that does kind of match what the brand, I guess, should be. So,
yep.
Cool.
Newly designed wheels, too. Those are brand new that I'm sure that aftermarket will try to recreate for other Teslas as well.
And it has adaptive dampening system. So the suspension is going to be, you know, it's gonna change based off of the road conditions and the driving settings that you turn on and off, which is something that's a first for the Model 3. So that's
and it's
cool.
saying that it's saying order it now. Estimated delivery May or June.
Yeah, yeah. I seen somebody online that already placed their order, and they have it. You know, they're hoping they get it soon. So I think you said May.
Did we call it out the gap in production? Because it seems like they're already queued up with a few of these made. It seems like that they're ready to start shipping for sure. I mean, obviously it's 2-3 months away. They're ready, but. It's just interesting.
Well, I mean, May is like a week away. It's right on the doorstep. So I feel like they've been accumulating to get ready for this. Yeah.
Perfectly timed for earnings, that's for sure.
Uh-huh. Yep. Well, we have Hugo in the chat.
Said it.
we'll get to it. We'll get to it. Hugo's in the chat just saying good evening. So good evening,
what up,
Hugo. Yeah, okay. guys are wanting it, so let's just get to it. So let's talk about the earnings call. Tesla earnings call was yesterday, right?
Yeah. Did you guys listen to it?
I did not. I was at work. I wasn't able to. I had to catch up on it afterwards. But I know you have a lot of thoughts, Will. You listened to it.
Did you say you listened to it?
I caught parts in the highlights, but... Okay. I will say that Tesla's up 16% today.
They're up today. They're up. Yeah. I think they were up slightly after the earnings call, right? Or once it closed, and then
It jumped 6%. I think after hours after the call concluded, and then 16% today.
Yep. So
that's crazy.
So they're up right now. But why don't you guys dive into it as I pull something up real quick?
Tesla. Okay, yeah. So I was listening to it pretty much. I think that I came into it about 10 minutes late, so I'm sure that I missed some earlier mention. Like, I think that I missed whatever the early comments where he had about the model, what they called Model 2, the affordable model, because they seemed very tight-lipped about it. They were very. By the time I tuned in, he was like, "Yeah, I've said all we're gonna say about that cheaper car." And I think that the fervor of the internet, their imagination ran away with it immediately, being like, "Okay, so it doesn't sound like it's a Model 2, as in a completely separate production line. It sounds like a cheap Model 3, or some sort of cost saving measures applied to an existing platform in order to make it." This lower cost vehicle and maybe the vessel for that will become robo-taxis. And a bunch of people were mentioning that, I mean, I will say Elon did sound much more focused. I feel like he's probably been working on staying engaged to something like this without kind of, he only really went on one tangent, which had something to do with how many billions or trillions of cells we have in our body versus how much bacteria. And it's like, bro, come on. Back in line. Come on.
Answer.
So, exactly. So I mean, after that point, I mean, he was pretty much on the point for what the messages were. Obviously the messages are kind of the topic of discussion for today. Like you had said, I have my thoughts because you saw my bold caps message in the chat. My first thought about the earnings report was at the very end of it, the CFO announced that his resignation had been accepted, and that, you know, this was basically entering his exit spiral or whatever, what have you. And then today, I think that I had read that they had filed their 10K or whatever the new financials were that declared that the CFO was selling like $460 million worth of stock on his exit or something like that. And, you know, somebody pointed out, I was like, if this is the verge of automation, if you are the night before turning your several hundred billion dollar company into potentially tens of trillion dollar company, and you're the CFO, why do you leave right before a payday? Like, why do you cash out now to go spend time with your family versus sticking it out and getting 10 times, like he got $400 million. That is nothing to that's amazing. But it's like that could have been $4 billion if they are where they are, where they say they are with automation. And I'm like, something doesn't add up with that. And everybody's like, that's weird. So,
especially the reaction, I think that's what's the oddest thing is that all these bullet points would lead you to think that the stock was going to plummet and get us closer to 100, but it did the opposite. So it's
yeah.
Odd.
It had a nice rebound. I mean, you know, and I think that the filing was a whole, you know, it's already been done. He already sold the stocks or added them, does whatever they have to do to offload them. But I just thought that it was really, really interesting because all of the discussion, especially in the earnings call, seemed like it was very focused on this notion of automation and the future for Tesla. That's their core. This is their mission now. It's right up there next to, you know, make us reliable on a renewable future.
Right.
Right next to it. Automation, that's our game. We're gonna solve it, guys.
Which is right on the heels, and we didn't even mention it, about the cut to full self-driving. Almost in half.
Yes. Let me cue that up.
Which is not... it's contrary to what we were thinking. Like,
I think that it was that hidden third option. It was we thought that either they were going to...
Help DEA keep our community safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.
Keep the price where it was and cut a deal on subscriptions or allow for transfers more. I'm not sure that I saw them necessarily discounting it. And the fact that they did does, I feel like it's a bigger, you know, when you're in your house and you hear like a really loud bang outside and you're like, whatever. That was like, there's a part of you that's still like, we should probably go check on that. I feel like this is one of those things. Cause it's like, they're like automation guys, automation. We're there. We're like robo-taxis in 3 months, three freaking months, guys. And then it's like, by the way, full self-driving, we're going to throw you guys a fire sale.
It's odd, but the other half of it, I feel like, is a reaction to just the general economy. Like, interest rates are still up. They're not going down anytime soon. So it's like, they have to bring prices down. Otherwise, they're going to lose out on sales. So that's probably one of the big upsells that they were looking at. They're like, hey, maybe we could slice it in half and then more people will buy into it. That are buying brand new this year, but I don't know. Like, I think that's interest rates definitely need to, you know, come down if they're wanting to.
I think that they learned something from that full self-driving trial. I feel like they learned something regarding, like, maybe there's a lot of interest. Maybe there was enough interest. Maybe they had, you know, people who had done the trial. Maybe they did a quick survey, and the survey was something like, okay, if 70% of respondents say that they're interested in it, we set it to this price. Versus 50% of the respondents say that they liked it and would buy it. Then maybe we'll cut the price to another number for a short period. Whatever maximizes based on that sentiment. So this may have just all been kind of an algorithm for it. Whenever Tesla moves a price, I usually am like, all right, just wait a minute, because they've done price changes and then a week later change them back, or
right.
Been like, never mind, we sobered up, or we got Elon away from the keyboard, sorry, you know, whatever it is.
Well, that's a good point too. That literally right before this, the call to say that full self-driving monthly cost was only going to be $100 a month. There was a big reaction to that, that people were like, whoa, you know, I way overpaid. And then a few days later, now we're like, all right, they cut it in half. So it's definitely going in that route.
Well,
I think people looked at, they did that number crunch, didn't they? They were like, okay, rental for $200 a month times 24 months, $2,400 times 10, 8 years on the battery life equals this. And it's like, that's going to be slightly more expensive. It's, you know, more economical to subscribe to it or buy it or whatever.
Right.
Well, in my experience with full self-driving, so when I had my Model 3 and they first released full self-driving, I don't remember exactly what it was, maybe like $2,000-$3,000, something like that. And gradually they started increasing the pricing on it, and I think it got up to about $6,000. And I regretted not buying it at whatever they opened up at. Let's just call it $3,000, right? I regretted it. I was like, oh no, man, now it's 6,000. It's double. I should have bought it at three. What was I thinking? Well, then they did a discount. They cut it down to, I believe, $2,000. And at that time, I didn't buy it. I still didn't buy it. Even though I had the regrets, I still didn't buy it. I go, you know, I don't need it. Do I really need it? Talked to my wife about it, and we were like, it was her car, so she was like, I'm never going to use it. Well, we don't need it. Well, a few weeks goes by, it goes back to $6,000. I'm once again going, man, I should have just bought it. I don't know what I was thinking. Why did I let her convince me into it, you know, or not buying it? And then maybe 4 or 5 months goes by, and they reduced it down to $3,000. And then I said, okay, I got to buy it. You know, I have to. So I jumped on it, I bought it. And I think that's the point of my story is that I think that's the kind of the game that Tesla does. They put it at a certain price. And so you're thinking, wow, $12,000, that's a lot of money. There's people that paid that, right? Then they reduce it to $8,000. And now it's a fire sale. It's the hottest thing. Yeah.
And go buy. Before. Tomorrow they'll have automation. Your car's worth $50,000 more when you wake up. You know?
Exactly. And so you go out, people are probably buying it at $8,000 because they're going, it's not going to get any lower than this. I have to buy it. And so they go and they jump on it, they buy it. And in a month or so, it'll jump back up. And that's just, you know, that's just the way, it's a marketing thing. And that's just the way they do it. And I don't blame them. I mean, it's smart. I mean, and whoever does get in right now at $8,000, I think it's actually smart because if you're going to use it, this is a great price. So, you know, do it.
Go there, Chase.
Did we lose him? Oh, there we go. You're back.
Okay. Oh, sorry, Eric. You cut out there for a hot minute.
There was a glitch in the matrix a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Did I? So I was talking for no reason.
Yeah, just
for
a second. Jason, I lost you. Yeah.
Just for a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I see that I froze up. So I was just saying that I think it's a great deal. And if you can, if you're looking to get full self-driving, right now is a great time to buy it because it's, I don't think it's going to get any cheaper anytime soon. And it's just going to go up.
I will say this. I've been a full self-driving driver and enthusiast this entire time. Navigate on autopilot, enhanced autopilot, FSD when they started calling it beta. You know, I feel like the full self-driving has really, really, really improved a lot over the last 6 years. Especially, the EAP and everything, but especially since FSD beta started hitting people. It's improved a lot. And it's improved to the point where, I mean, I feel comfortable using it a lot. And I'm not saying I'll let my guard down, but it's certainly letting the mental load more rest on the car in certain stretches of road, if you will. And I think that the more people potentially just try to use it, I know I'm very willing to try new technology and really try it, like put my life, you know, in the hands of a car to drive me. And it has been so great for Tesla that I'm excited, and I'm hoping that more people pick up the full self-driving, just because there's a lot of negative sentiment from the internet and from articles and from all these different sources. But it's like, here I am telling you I drive it and it works great. I'm not gonna oversell it. I'm not gonna say it's gonna, you know, cure cancer or teach your kids to use the potty or something like that. It's just a fantastic tool that I think is a solid evolution past cruise control.
And
I tell it something as complex as drive me to Papa John's and feel like it'll get me there necessarily, I'm worried. There's rough edges to it, but I do think that it's valuable.
Well, on that point. For anybody that wants to go see full self-driving, I released a video today on one of my buddies who helps me film.
Nervous.
Yeah. Well, no. Here, let me put it.
Is he driving or the car driving?
Come on.
He's a virgin to
driving.
Tesla? Yeah, to driving. Okay. He's a virgin to Tesla. He's a virgin to EVs. He's never driven an EV before. Never driven a Tesla before.
Okay.
Obviously, never. Yes, never been behind the wheel of full self-driving. So this was a great video because he was just freaking out when the wheel started turning, and he was like, "What the hell is this thing doing?" But there was some hiccups. So anybody that wants to go look at my video, go watch it.
Go check it.
Go ahead. Yep.
I will kind of go along with that sentiment. Like when you first like give up control, it's weird because you've driven for so many years. Well, I've driven for so many years, and a lot of people have too. But you're just like you're trained into like like this is how you do it, and now you just like you don't, and you're just it's just weird because then you're going like you know 75 down the highway, and then here comes a construction zone, and you're like, what's it gonna do? Is it gonna like slam right into the wall, or is it gonna like navigate? And it does. Like it's crazy. Like once you get past that, it's good.
So in our video, we hit a construction zone and the lights were out. Okay. Mm-hmm. They were covered up. And so it reacted to it, you know? And, mm-hmm. and so it's an interesting video. If you want to check it out, you know, go check it out.
I would like to say this. Hang on. So also having now done a long road trip up to Cupertino in the Rivian,
I was going to ask you what car you took. I knew.
Yeah,
I took.
Well, the Cybertruck was actually on a rental, so they were
making you money.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Honestly, a long drive like that, I wouldn't necessarily want to take the Cybertruck for the lack of autopilot.
Really?
Yeah.
Fair. That's fair.
I mean, it's a 400-mile drive, and I've done it a bunch of times, so it's not like I'm going to see something new. So I'm like, all right, it's a relaxing ride, but I kind of like my technical chauffeur.
They need a release autopilot for road trips, man. I just don't think
there's enough data yet. And if you think about
there
it,
isn't,
like
but...
with the cameras being lifted and lowered, they're just going to need more data.
Yeah.
Well,
doing the Driver Plus up there, it's still because that was also one of the things in the earnings call was Elon officially saying it's like, yeah, we are talking to at least one automaker, and there's still a part of me that I'm like, I'm hoping, but I'm also thinking it's going to be Rivian. So.
Probably.
I bet that's why Rivian upticked in the middle of the day.
Yeah, then there's that.
I mean, the overall market had a bounce, so I think that's probably from it, but I don't think Tesla caused the market to bounce the way it did. But who knows?
Well, Will, there's a question in the chat specifically for you.
Oh, crap.
So our viewer, Bill Sellers, is asking, he says...
What up, Bill?
He goes, so William, do you think this changes the future price for FSD? Do you still think it will hit 15 to 20K?
That's a good question.
Yes, I do think so. Because I've been impressed by where Tesla says that they are, the things that they're producing. There's been plenty of times that they've been misleading, but I have personally been driving my vehicle. And I know that there's a fair amount of improvement and growth that needs to happen in FSD to really kind of hit level 3. And the problem is I don't know if they have the guidance and the skill to necessarily reach it. But given the current state of FSD, to the point where I think that if they can solve the issue of the last 5% or the last 5% of a ride in a vehicle that has FSD, those two gaps, I think, could easily make FSD worth 15 to 20,000. Because right now, I feel comfortable getting into my car. Let's say I'm taking my car from my house to go get Taco Bell. So I walk into my car, put in the address to Taco Bell. I still kind of have to navigate it out and get it driving. But once I get to a stop or two away from the house, this is with my Model X with FSD, I can activate the full self-driving beta and feel pretty confident that it'll get to I'll get near Taco Bell, but the problem is getting to the parking space nearby. I'm excited to see the auto park and see them improve with that thing. These are the little touches that I think are on the front and end of every drive that needs the attention, because the middle part has only improved drastically over the years from the point that I've seen it, where I had to help the car change lanes on the highway, down to I've watched my car make flawless left turns across traffic. I've watched it do, you know, split median left turns a number of times. It just, there's still some additional finesse that really is needed there, but there's so much meat in what they provide on the journey with FSD that I just think that if they just solve those front and ends, however they do it, in the software, in the location, whatever, I think that instantly you will have something that's really interesting to people that you could confidently be like, I can get a car and ride from here to there and get out. That's a robo-taxi. That's a cab. That's a ride that I didn't have to question who the driver was. So it passed the Turing test, essentially. I think that once you start getting to that, as far as consumers can see it, that's when the price will really, really pop off.
Yeah, because it's not just like charging extra for the vehicle, but potentially buying into a higher priced vehicle to then make you money. Because I think that was kind of the idea initially. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you could have a Tesla and it could make you 40 grand a year because it's so off doing robotaxi stuff. I mean,
yeah.
But think about the last time you used an Uber or Lyft. Like the drop off usually is pretty seamless, but the pickup is always kind of like clunky depending on where you are. Like think about like airports, you just come out of the bar and it's a really busy street. I mean, there's all these different places where like you kind of have to like kind of put yourself out there to try to find the car initially. And I think that's like you're saying, they just need to work out those kinks and try to find that kind of happy medium. Whether it's like, maybe it's like predetermined, you know, locations that they know. They're like, rather than finding a parking spot, it just knows that, okay, based off of geo data, that they're like, okay, we can sit here for a set amount of time. And if you don't get to that location in a set amount of time, it will move on and go to somewhere else.
I think that once I see FSD seemingly more aware of what a parking lot is, because as far as road structures are concerned, a highway is a highway, easy. Long lanes with miles in between exits, fine. City streets, okay, you got left turns, you got right turns at lights, you got blocks to figure that out. Residential area, you got a left turn and then a left turn 100 yards later. When I see the vehicles start looking at a parking lot and drive...
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Takeback Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeback.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeback.com.
Around and being like, I am rendering a parking lot because I see there's a hell of a lot of parking spaces. I'm looking for one. There, I found one. I'm parking at it. That's when I think that right then it's 20,000, 25,000. That is a feature that is saying, and if I can do it without sitting inside of it at that moment, that's what changes the game. Because then I'm like, okay, I'll go see a movie instead of paying for parking. I'll just tell the car to go drive to a nearby lot and find a parking space at Ralph's. Or I'll you know, there's so, like, that's the, and I think that they're showing signs that they're logically and capability-wise almost there. And it's those little leaps, those little tiny incremental steps that suddenly put it in a whole new game. Because I remember before FSDB, I remember when it was navigate on autopilot was flawless and it just turned off at the highway exit and that kind of stuff. And the fact that we've come as far as we have, I'm like, it's almost there. It's just that little bit of piece left. And I think that it'll substantiate a lot of value for what it's worth.
Yeah, totally.
100%. Well, guys, we couldn't do our live podcast without Jay. Jay is finally here. He says hello.
What up, Jay?
What's going on, Jay? He's here every week. Let's go on to the next topic.
We got to talk about Robotaxi, those screenshots from the deck.
Oh, yeah. that's the big reveal coming in August. I think it's just interesting that they teased it now.
Yeah. And I think that if you look at those cards very carefully, the shots from the apps, not once does it imply that an automated vehicle is involved. It's all just pickup, location, progress to get there, how you're going to pay, all of that kind of stuff. There's nothing in there that indicates, oh, your vehicle's arriving that's completely autonomously driving to you, and it's your responsibility to get in and do something with it. So
this would be my best joke. It's vaporware from a gasless car company. I love it.
Is this the one you're talking about?
Yeah.
Hey, yeah.
It's all location data. Yeah. They got the summon button. So that's supposed, it's summon. I'm summoning an automatic vehicle. But then the rest of them are just, change the temperature. Oh, we're almost there. Okay, get out. Here, you want to play some music? That's all it is. There's nothing in this deck that implies that that's an automated vehicle driving.
Well, sparking an idea here. What if the precursor to autonomous driving robotaxis is basically their own Uber service using Tesla users?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. I bet you anything that somebody found out along the way that the most significantly rented vehicle to then go and use as an Uber driver or Lyft driver is Tesla, then it makes sense that they would just be like, then tell you what, we'll just integrate it to the app and then you can let somebody else even drive it for you to earn money and then bring it back to you, you know?
I would 100%, I don't know what they would call it, but like drive the Cybertruck around to pick up people.
Yeah,
it'd be hilarious. People show up in like a Cybertruck.
Oh, I've thought about doing that. Yeah, totally. Yeah, people would blow their minds. They'd be like, "What is this car?" I'm 100% willing to say that that's exactly what that's going to be. I think that August 8th is going to be them announcing that the Tesla app will now function as the Uber or Lyft app. You can get Tesla owners to drive you, and I bet you there's going to be some cool quirks like, if you have full self-driving and you activate it while you're doing a drive, you get some sort of a discount or you get supercharger miles out of it or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
You're selling full self-driving by driving people by turning it on.
And then eventually you just phase out the driver. Yeah, that's genius. I like it.
It's going to be exciting. I hope that that all comes to fruition. I hope that's what they talk about. They've teased us before, so we'll see. I think you're right, William. They're getting very, very close. I did want to pivot over to what was the big news last week, which was the big
pedal gate.
There we go.
Oh,
so yeah. This right here is
Aaron Cash.
Is the fix.
I think it says it in the recall notice as well. It's like repair to be performed with the jig provided for drilling the hole and then screwing it in directly.
I heard some haters on X, because there's plenty of them, talk about how they didn't clean up all the metal shavings. Although we don't know because the video cuts out.
Yeah.
But yeah, simple rivet. I mean, yeah, it goes to show you that, you know, you can just... Yeah, you know, simple fix is probably the best fix at the end of the day.
Yeah. And I think that it's also worth... I thought I had read that this is just the temporary fix. This is the immediate...
Correct.
...to keep the vehicles drivable until Tesla addresses it with something official.
Yeah.
So supposedly they fixed it in manufacturing. That's kind of the idea that we've heard tossed around.
Yeah.
I'll also send you another photo because we... As our daily driver, we also have like a Kia Sereno. And I noticed just the other day that it's got a very similar gas pedal function where it's pivoting from the bottom. And my question is, where's the rivet?
Yep. Yeah, where's that recall?
Where's the recall?
So...
Quite literally, like, from the crumbs of our Kia. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize that. I guess it's more of a common thing. I thought it was kind of a new design, having the pedal pivot from the bottom. Like, that was new to me until we just got this Kia. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay, yeah. This is a 2020. It must be more common to have a pedal that pivots from the bottom rather than the top.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that there's maybe one of our viewers or somebody who finds this later will tell us. It's like, I feel like, yeah, the swing arm from the top probably had something to do with the combustion engine and the way that it interacted with the build, like to build it underneath and have some sort of other thing would just be like, well, why would we do that? I mean, we could just have a shorter thing that just goes right there. So
yeah. And I know we mentioned the steer-by-wire, but it's also a good shout out for Sandy Monroe. They just posted a video today tearing apart and talking about the steer by wire. So they actually show the components of the steering column and how big it is.
Really?
Once you see that, you kind of understand, okay, it probably would need to be a little bit of redesign to get that to fit in a Model 3 or Model S.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, just hot off the press. But yeah, this rivet job.
Sandy, does the teardown ever address the Ethernet components? Has he gotten with that stuff yet?
I didn't notice it because I only caught part of the video, but I'm sure. But that's part of the core design of the steer by wire, so I'm sure they talk about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm most curious about. It's because I thought I had read somewhere in the Discord they had mentioned that it was like, yeah, more manufacturers are looking at that because that cuts down
that's
on
the future.
Copper in the vehicle. That's perfect, you know.
And just one more point on it, like that's all I talk about when I talk about the Cybertruck and why it's so good is because of the steer by wire.
Yep,
game changing. Uh-huh.
Yep.
For everyone. But all right. This rivet job, though, is not game-changing. And this is like machine manufacturing 101 here. This is like measure once, cut twice kind of deal here.
Is not
this is one of those you want to just kind of point to it and be like, now do you see the problem?
Because your job depends. Tell me what the problem is.
This is a logic and rational thinking thing. And if you can't see the issue, we're going to have to talk, you know, why this is not effective.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. It's pretty bad.
Which I think I did see the resolve of this specific case. They did redo it. I did because I remember seeing an image of it pushed down with like a little cutout of the bottom and then another rivet right on top of it. So if my TV mounting experience shows anything, you definitely get it the second time for sure. You find that stud eventually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You're knocking around on that wall a little too much. Yeah. Right? Your knuckles start hurting.
Thankfully, my wall is not $100,000.
Yeah, exactly. Wanted to talk about some different items some accessories that are out for the Cybertruck. I don't know if you guys seen this one. It's the Frunk Altrak and Knit.
I like that though. Oh, wait.
I like it, but I don't want to know what Tesla charges. $85. Yeah,
I
did. Yeah.
I hope you still have your credit, William.
No, it's all gone. I use it on the cyber whistle. Yeah. And I regret nothing.
Well, it's something we didn't talk about in the whole like full self-driving price decrease is that I would have felt better about it if they were like, oh, yeah, all you Foundation series, here's like $2,000 credit in the store.
Yeah, they're not doing that.
And I've been like, fine. Yeah. But no, yeah, this is interesting. But how much of an issue is this though? Like once it's in the frunk, it's just gonna roll around in there. Like,
well, I think that's the point of this is that it'll keep things held down. So what I have is I have like a little bag in my frunk that has some microfiber towels, has some cleaning solution for the wrap, you know, waterless spray, and I have a bunch of things in there. Well, that thing tends to move around on me, sometimes falls down and, you know, does a whole dance in there while I'm driving. So this would be interesting because hopefully this would kind of keep it down and not moving. So, I mean, I could see that being valuable for something like me, but yeah, I don't know if it's necessary, but it's an option.
Do you remember, I think it was about a month or two ago, someone had put a skateboard in their frunk and they had like strapped it down and it kind of spun around X for a while. I feel like a designer at Tesla saw that and they're like, you know what? I got you. And then $85 later, here we go.
Yep. Yeah. There you are.
I think that it's one of those and it's a comparison to my Rivian. Because the frunk in that is very much just kind of an open basin with an additional little hidden spot from it in the front. So it's more confined. It's more like a basket. The frunk on the Cybertruck has always kind of seemed odd to me. It's just like this mouth that just opens, and it's just a bench. Shown it every time I show it to a renter. They're like, "What do you use the frunk for?" And I'm like, "Usually to just sit there and on like it gives you a seat like that."
I just sit in my porch and just watch people going by. People watch.
All the partners going by.
I make friends that way. No. People would be like, "I have never seen one of these in person." They're like, "Sit down."
No, totally.
waving at people as they're driving by your house. You're just sitting in your front.
Got a pipe in one hand.
But I put groceries in it, but it's also, there's an issue there. Like, you kind of have to make sure that it's, like, pushed up against so that it's not going to get crushed by the frunk.
So I think that that's kind of what this solves, is the whole idea. Like, if I was to go to the grocery store and only pick up, like, two or three things, and I put a bag in the front, the frunk, I'd be like, it'd be rolling around back and forth, left and right, all over the place.
Yeah. You know,
just, I'm sure it's just securing it in an odd design. Yeah, and then there's a detailing kit.
So this might be the solution that I need for my issue, and I don't need spend the $85 net. I just buy the $130 detailing kit.
Four solutions, to be specific.
Yeah.
Four, yes.
Which... I was questionable, because when I first saw this, I was like, oh, they're going to sell like this kit with these bottles that are empty. But if you read in the description, they actually give you the solution that they recommend for each surface, each of the four surfaces, which I assume is the same recommendation from the manual, because they talk about like certain parts of this and that for optimal cleaning. So that at least is nice. The price point...
So in the layoffs that have happened recently, I was, you know, because people, I don't even know if someone's actually real about it, but they posted, they were like, hey, I was laid off from Tesla, and here's the recipe for how to clean your Cybertruck. And they posted a list of things, a process and a video, and I was like, okay, if this dude is fake, I mean, this looks like a good thing to try out on the metal. So I was like, it was basically just like a cutting compound. And a microfiber cloth to wipe off, and then just basically two rounds of window cleaner. You know, I'm like, that totally sounds like what you would do to clean this, like, really nicely. So
basically what we've been saying, like, Barkeeper's Friend is a cutting compound, and then ammonia-free glass cleaner is the glass cleaner.
Ammonia-free glass cleaner.
And that's exactly what we've been doing. Like, before we wrapped it, we would just hit it with a level of ammonia-free glass cleaner, hit it with a level of Barkeeper's Friend, and then hit it with more glass cleaner, and it was good as new.
Yeah.
It just took a few wipes.
And you definitely want to follow those instructions, because you do not want to be like this poor gentleman.
Oh, no.
Who took his car through the car wash and didn't put it in car wash mode, and his Cybertruck shut down.
What exactly happened?
This actually is not an image from the story, by the way. This is a stolen image.
Looks like somebody who's cleaning
it. Of course.
But it's funny because, I got this shared to me a couple of times from some friends that are like, oh, wash your truck. But the same thing is, like, I feel like this is a common knowledge with EVs. And
yes.
I think there was a discussion in the Discord about it, too. It was like, well... You sign on to, okay, these are kind of different things you need to do with an EV versus a gas car, and then putting it into a car wash mode is kind of along with that. Like, all the Teslas have car wash mode, so I don't know why this is, like, shocking for people to be like, oh my god, why does it have a car wash mode? You can't just wash your truck? It's like, yeah, but it's also electric. Like, you gotta, like, close off all those ports.
You touched on something, Chase. How many times do you guys get, maybe in a week, friends, acquaintances, coworkers, family members sending you every negative post, news, and just like, hey, be careful, or what's up with this? You know, like when the recall happened, the pedal gate, oh my gosh. How many messages I received? I can't even tell you.
At least a handful, bare minimum, a handful.
I basically, honestly, I really just got my dad, you know, because he's seen it. He's been here and seen it. So, he was like, is your truck affected by this? And I was like, yeah, I assume it is, but I'm supposed to have a service appointment for Thursday, which just got moved. But yeah, I was like, yeah, I mean, they're contacting people to take care of it. I mean, it's literally just a screw through the thing. So he's like, oh, okay.
Are you doing that?
No, my appointment got moved to like May 3rd. They can't they can't get my replacement window button or something in time.
Oh,
so.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that was the question that I had, because the number that they came out and said in the recall didn't match what numbers of trucks that are out there now. So there's a weird kind of disconnect there that we still don't know the story of. But like, when I did put in my info in the site, it said, okay, yeah, this is an available recall that we can fix. So I'm sure if I would take it into a service appointment, they would then go rivet it and be like, all right, cool, you're done. You know, they don't have to worry about it. If I would do any other kind of service, like a tire checkup or something like that. But yeah, it's interesting that it was available, but I was going to go with that. But yeah, it's often that people will be like, hey, they
watch
see
out.
Whatever on the news, and you'll be like, hey, you know, like I get it. And it, often it's just because my golfing buddies that give me for anyways for the $100,000 truck. It's
yeah,
just compounding onto it.
Of course, we get all that.
The few people who try to bust my balls about stuff like that, I'm not fun to try and bust my balls over it. So you're just like, it's a pedal gate, and I'm just like, all
right, right,
okay. So yeah, they're gonna fix it. Okay, what else?
But they did, yeah. You know, they. I think we said it before. They did jump on it really quick. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
by the timeline, because of NHTSA, we have, NHTSA. It's NHTSA, right?
NHTSA, yeah.
NHTSA,
National
yeah.
Highway Transportation Safety Administration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because of the report, we do have exactly when the first report from a customer happened. It was on March 31st. The second report happened on April 2nd. So we do have a timeline there. That's only 4 weeks ago that we heard of the first customer having this issue. And then now, within 3 weeks of that issue, they already are ready at the gate with a fix, both in production as well as in live. And I think it goes to show that, you know, how dedicated they are for, you know, their first customers. That Tesla was showing up to these events last weekend, for sure, like just for free, just like, hey, let me rivet and fix it for you right now, no charge, no foul. I think that's really commendable, and it's more so than some of the larger car makers that
mm-hmm.
have a recall like this, and they're like, well, gonna have to bring it to us.
It's kind of interesting, yeah, how much the American, or at least the public that you run into, they all are like, oh, how's the build quality? Oh, is it rusting? Oh, is it, like, is the battery exploding nightly? Like, they hear so much about the cars that they're just like, wow, these things are just jalopies on fire. I don't know how anybody drives one.
Rusting jalopies.
Let alone how your car got here this morning. I have no idea. So when there's something that's being taken seriously, it's kind of like, yeah, that's because that's a real issue. Like, oh, this other stuff, those are, you know, they'll solve it or they'll get to it or whatever. This was a critical issue to the driving and survival of the passengers. And I'm like, yeah. And they swooped in super quickly.
Which the numbers question, I still question because we haven't really had full confirmation of where the recall numbers fit in line with production models that were made as well as sold. We don't know that. We probably never will. But I think it is interesting that as early as that story was starting, I noticed our local news in Austin, they like had put out a posting. They're like, hey, all Cybertrucks delivered recall. And that was like the buzzword to be like, oh, every single Cybertruck recall.
And people are like, oh my God, it must be million.
Yeah. And then they retracted it. They actually edited it after the fact. They're like, some Cybertrucks recall.
Yeah.
So they did catch it.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm glad that they at least edited it, but still, I think the cat was out of the bag because everyone who was talking about it was like, oh, every Cybertruck is recalled now. Is it? You know, or let's just ignore the fact that like there was really no safety issue to be had. Like as soon as the pedal got sucked down, as soon as you hit the brake, it acts like it should. It just breaks.
Yeah.
Well, we have a question from Jay. Jay's asking if we know of anybody that got hurt from the recall from this pedal gate. And I don't think there is any, right? I never heard of anybody getting hurt. So
that's a great segue.
Because I do think that there is one thing I remember from all the other issues that they've tried to blame unintended acceleration on Teslas for. And I remember some of the court cases, like they brought out the fact that the engineering designs are like, if anything applies, like even the tiniest amount of pressure to the brake, it electronically deactivates any input from the throttle. So you can't stop both at the same time and rev an engine like you can with an ICE vehicle. With an EV, you touch the brake and it deactivates the capabilities of the accelerator. So
that's a good point.
If it was a mechanical failure that caused it to become jammed, they're telling people, they're like, yeah, if it gets jammed, touch the brake. Just put your foot right on the brake and it'll bring your car to a stop. It's not like you're fighting the engine where you're fighting an acceleration with brake calipers. You're just bringing the car to a stop because the throttle has working at that point.
Yeah. It's literally impossible to do a burnout with this vehicle.
Exactly.
Outside of, I haven't tried it, but outside of putting it into off-road mode on the street, that might be able to work, because I know off-road mode will deactivate traction control. So maybe that would work. But
well, William, run out to your Cybertruck. We'll find out.
Be right back. See you guys.
Do a burnout in the street.
Yeah.
Which is
grab a beer. Hang on. I'll see you guys in a minute.
Yeah. I mentioned before, like, people, like, it's funny because it kind of goes to that same mentality of, like, people are just now, like, getting used to, in the last, like, what, you know, 8 years, that they're getting used to seeing EVs around and understanding that, yeah, this is going to be different. They're not going to be loud. They're going to be fast. It's not the same as ICE vehicles.
I can't remember where I was like a couple days ago, but it was next to like four EVs at an intersection, and it was so quiet. And I was like, this is delightful. I like it. There's some dude out there be like, no, roll it under. Yeah. You know, I'm like, no, just quiet. It's fine. You're okay with your thoughts, friend.
Chase was right. That was a great segue.
I don't know. Is this what were they thinking, or do you have something queued up?
No, I think this is what were they thinking.
Okay.
Yeah, this has to be.
And this happened perfectly in the same time frame that pedal
were they thinking
was happening.
Yeah,
they're thinking one pedal was another.
It's up here, actually.
Oh yeah.
So this guy in his Ford Lightning, something happened with his accelerator.
It rolled over. That's
pedal.
Wild.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Which
right onto its side.
Which is crazy for an EV too.
Yeah.
It must have been so far upright that camera angle, it must have practically been like above 50, 60 degrees.
Oh,
for
yeah,
it to still roll over
like
that.
Further down, there's a video of it's up on something. But someone had mentioned, I don't think it was in this post, but someone had mentioned the dollar amount just from this one wreck was like well over six figures between all the cars. Because this was in line for a car wash, and yeah, mm-hmm. all the way into the car, or not a car wash, but like a, what is this? Yeah, Diamond Car Wash. All the way into the car wash itself.
All right.
Just compounded.
Yeah.
Where's the recall?
Right here. Here's the video right here of the damage.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, I'm sure somebody got hurt from this.
Oh,
look
yeah.
at this.
Not to make too long of a tangent of it, but
there's a police vehicle in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it made the news.
I was gonna say back when I first learned to drive a car, one of the things my dad told me was like, he was like, "You're not driving a car, you're driving a gun, because this thing can kill somebody."
Yep.
And I was seeing these videos. It's always one of those things where it's like, yeah, this is amazing. Like, but still, it's like, how, you know, what I don't know, negligence had to happen for them to just so casually hit so many cars. It's like somebody could have been walking between one of those cars, between the police car and the next car, or somebody could have been walking by. Somebody's kid could have been chasing a balloon or a lizard or something. It's always one of those things that kind of gives you pause.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just poking fun, but we don't see Ford going out with rivet guns.
Yeah.
You had to, right?
I mean,
Ford's like, if we don't kill more than 2% of civilians any day, we call it a win. We call it a win.
It's not a recall; it's a feature.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I really want to know what the story was behind this, because yeah, like that's kind of where my initial skepticism with the whole pedigree thing was, that the way that it was presented and the way that it became viral within, really became viral almost 2 weeks after it actually happened. Because the first report happened, he clearly like contacted Tesla and then made a TikTok video, and then it was just was crazy, but then Tesla was already ready to like jump on it. So it's just crazy turn of events. I also know that there was like obviously a bunch of Tesla layoffs, but I'm wondering like how that kind of filtered into to all the events too. Just, you know, backseat driving. It's interesting.
It's very interesting. I did want to talk about some quick little news. Not sure if you guys seen that. It seems that Lamborghini is getting into the EV game, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. Is Mercedes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. This is their plug-in hybrid. So it's a hybrid. Yeah. It's not full electric, but I mean, for a performance car manufacturer like Lamborghini to say, hey, you know what? Let's kind of dip our toes into the electric vehicle realm. I mean, it shows you that they're even recognizing that, hey, if you want your vehicle to be a performance, I mean, right now they have their new Urus S and Urus Performance models, which have 657 horsepower, but the hybrid version is going to have 789 horsepower. So it's going to be even better than their performance model.
What are the other? I mean, did they post like an expected 0-60 or
no?
Like metric-wise, yeah.
Depending on weight, because those are also pretty heavy. They're just about as heavy as the Cybertruck, maybe not a little bit lighter.
Yeah, wasn't
there's just 600 pounds. Thing,
wasn't that the thing with the Mercedes? Like this new Mercedes electric was like 200 kilowatt hour battery. The range was only like 240 miles.
Yeah, because of the weight of the vehicle.
Yeah,
these are pretty heavy. Hard. They also kind of, I mean, they're doing that for a reason. Like, there's a very real, like, tax incentive for vehicles over 6,000 pounds. So they mm-hmm. want to have that tax incentive for the buyers, mm-hmm. which is just interesting that they're getting it a motor.
Somebody will probably want to set me on fire for it. But there is a part of me that I'm like, okay, I want to know. Okay, so I get, you know, Lamborghini as a brand, what their cars are and are capable of doing are amazing luxury, amazing sports supercars.
Yeah.
But there's a part of me where I'm like, yeah, but it was still started by engineers who understood the internal combustion engine and translated that into cutting edge, amazing performance. And I'm happy to see more brands kind of dabble in the EV world. Mm-hmm. But there's a part of me where I'm like, okay, so it's got the Lamborghini name on it, but what about it is making it a Lamborghini that makes it compete with the state of the art that was Lamborghini? And what's this vehicle? Because I mean, the Urus is just I only know it because watching, I guess, Selling Sunset. I think one of the women, the realtors, don't judge me.
Sorry, we watched Love Is Blind. It's fine. You can have
Love Is Blind.
Worse. This show's way worse than Love Is Blind. Do not even try.
It's a step
it's
above.
It's going
to
be the downfall of Western civilization is Selling Sunset. But they're also doing two more seasons. So anyway, one of the realtors on the show, she drove a yellow Lamborghini Urus, and I remember looking it up, and I was like, oh, that's pretty badass looking. I mean, you know, it's supercar and pretty and, you know, and super expensive. But there is just a part of me where I'm like, I still want to remember the engineering side of it. I really want to see like Lamborghini come and be like, we contacted a mad scientist who designed these motors.
Yeah, his name is
Elon. It has this and it has this. Yeah, just something, you know. Like, I want to see that kind of engineering competition, not just, hey, we made a really expensive electric vehicle, guys. Come check it out, you know.
Yeah.
I want to read the stats for it. I want to know
you
what it
nerd
does.
Out about it. Right. You want to nerd out about it. Yeah.
Because it's still like these cars. I get that electric vehicles are priced north, way north of most EV, I'm sorry, internal combustion cars. So there's a tendency to call them luxury vehicles. Whereas I'm like, yeah, you know what? It's got some Alcantara interior and, you know, it's got some features and stuff. But otherwise, the value is there for what you're getting from these cars. They're not luxury. They're just priced higher because they cost more to make. But they're still, like, awesome. You know, I feel like every dollar is worth it for every Tesla and every EV you drive. But I want to know where that money's going for the Lamborghini. I want to hear them be like, it can literally like destroy pavement with these motors or something like that. Let me, yes, show me, you know.
I want to know about the weight distribution because I feel like they're already over 6,000 pounds as an ICE vehicle. Like where did is all of that in the engine? They just took out and they filled it with battery? But I mean,
or is it all the frame? Is it like some combination of different alloys?
Well, remember, it's a hybrid, so it's going to have an engine still, and it's going to then have some batteries. So,
and if it's a newer hybrid, they're not going to do like NiCad batteries or any other chemistry. They're going to do lithium nowadays. So, yeah. So, how does that distribute? That's crazy.
I do know from firsthand knowledge that the great streamer Misgif drove a Urus before driving my Cybertruck, the dual motor, and he did say that the acceleration is very comparable. It's about the same.
So, awesome. That goes to show you. That
if
what
you're
it's
looking to buy a Urus, just get a Cybertruck.
Yeah, there you go. Speaking
go
of...
get one. They're like everywhere. It's easy.
Yeah.
Give it a couple years.
And, I mean, it's a great purchase, and the reason for that is because the value holds.
which is crazy because the Tesla is notorious for having terrible trade-in values.
Yeah.
Yes.
But here we are. Which I didn't even do the math when I saw this, but I'm curious because I saw the resale agreement said something about like 25 cents a mile, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So buy back. 29.
But they said that's if they're buying it back. Is this a trade in because they want to buy
this is a
trade in and get rid of this?
This is a trade in.
$2,000. Yeah. $2,000 lost in value. So it literally is like,
like
basically
a
sticker
cents a
price.
Mile, practically there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
so
I mean, obviously the taxes and all that go into it, right? You're really into the hundred and I mean, I think I was like 111, 112, something like that.
What?
Right?
With taxes?
I believe so.
Ours is 101. 101 after taxes.
Okay, well, maybe I need to go back and look at it. But it's something like that. But yeah, I mean, 98,000. I mean, that's...
it's impressive.
That's really, really encouraging. And he has almost 8,000 miles, which I don't think most people have on their Cybertrucks right now.
I don't mean to get too heady about it, but I will say this. So we've got CFOs resigning. We've got autopilot at the forefront. We got a lot of different. What is this? What do you
show? 5,000 miles.
Ah, okay. I think I'm at like 3,000. But we've got a lot of the sky is falling news stories, and some of them credible. So there's a part of me where I'm kind of like looking at this buyback value of the Cybertruck. And let's just say for a second, let's just entertain the notion that there are only 7,000 Cybertrucks currently in possession by owners. Is there a possible future where $98,000 is cheap, considering how rare our trucks could become, given the unforeseeable short term, the unforeseeable
the uncertainty?
Future?
True.
Yeah. You know, because it's like, DeLorean was taken down from a Coke bust, and I'm like, I bet there's a lot of people who really thought there was a future for that car and that car company. And I'm not trying to say that in any way possible that'll happen to Tesla, but there is a part of me where it's like, there's a really weird amount of controversy going on there. And there's a part of me that I'm like, what's to stop them from just one day pulling the plug on Cybertruck sales and saying, you know what, we were kidding. We're just going to do this other design. It looks like a Model Y, but it's also a truck. You know, like that can happen. Yeah. Tesla is weird. They do weird things. You know, and the future is uncertain. So I'm like, 98,000. I'm like, what happens if this thing becomes a little bit more collectory? But
it could be possible. I mean, looking at it right now, the cheapest DeLorean I can find online is 77,000, but most are 97, 89, and 88. So yeah.
That's what I keep telling people. I think this car, I mean, it all depends, right? Because if they're going to make millions and millions and millions and millions, that's why it was important for me to get the Foundation Series.
Yeah.
Because there's 10,000, even if there's 15,000 Foundation Series, in 20 years, that 15,000 is going to dwindle down to 10, just from cars being totaled and damaged and, whatever. So, I think it's a good investment in my personal opinion. Yep. It's kind of like one of those polarizing vehicles that a lot of people hate, but there's possibly, and I think it's going to be a high chance that in 40 years, it's going to be worth some money.
It's a billboard on wheels.
To me, it's also kind of a historical thing. It's like we have not seen a car that looks this extensively different than everything. I mean, every time I go to Costco once a week because, you know, wife, two kids, and a dog. So everybody eats a lot of food. So we go to Costco. You drive around the parking lot and it's, you know, yeah, pickup truck, minivan, yeah. Toyota Corolla. Hey, look, it's a Jetta. You know what? It's just the same shapes. It's the same.
And then
curves.
There's Will.
It's no spice. Yeah, then there's me in the Cybertruck, which I use the little latch in the bed.
Sitting
I,
in his frunk, just up, waving at all the Costco there. Shoppers.
Yeah. Like, yo, I'm on Turo. Yeah, but yeah, it's like you just see so many different cars that aren't different. They're just all the same. And then there's this thing that's on the road now. And I'm like, if there could be a legacy, I wish it would be, yeah, let's get back to making weird things again, you know?
Reinventing the wheel because it's fun. And I think so the trading value is kind of nice confirmation, because that was kind of one of the assumptions we made when we first got into the Cybertruck, knowing that there was a $20,000 premium. We're like, okay, for instance, this is going to solidify, we're going to treat this like a business. And that was the one thing that I was like, okay, at least there's always the possibility that we, you know, say the business doesn't pan out or it's not profitable, we could sell it back to Tesla themselves.
Yep.
We could get out.
That was part
of
my thought.
Easy exit. It's super low risk. So I was like, okay, this is a no-brainer. Like, this is low risk investment with an out that doesn't hurt us at all. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of a win-win.
Exactly. We have a comment from Bill who says, going back to the Lamborghini plug-in hybrid, he mentions or he makes a comment saying that hybrid plug-ins worry him. I have to worry about the maintenance on both electric components as well as combustion components. What are your guys' thoughts?
You're increasing the points of failure, and you're increasing points of failure that play into each other. Because I don't know how hybrids necessarily, they must have a fail-safe program, but if your battery fails, does your hybrid then, you know, does it, like, what's the efficiency look like only doing the combustion engine? Mm-hmm. Or if you're driving for the electric part, but there's no, you know, the combustion engine isn't working, what do you do then? Just feels like hybrids are, again, you know, every time I talk to my folks about the future and whatever, because they're looking for a new car, and I'm like, you know, have you thought about battery electric? And they're always like, we're looking at hybrids. So I feel like there's still just this hesitation in a lot of people to be like, yeah, you can live your life happily every day just using electricity to drive on. It's completely feasible. It's so feasible that years ago it was feasible and it's only gotten better, you know? So convincing people, I think, is the problem. And I think that hybrids are the solution to that. I think that that's how they capture that those sales, those people who are like, but I still need to be able to gas up in 5 minutes. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the skeptic's vehicle. I feel like it's really just kind of there, like you said, for people that are not ready and people that are, you know, politicians that are just trying to pad the numbers, you know, because I feel like tinfoil hat, like if we're talking ICE vehicles, I feel like there's technology out there to make them more efficient. It's just not being allowed. Like, I think there is possibility to make the gas vehicles a little bit more efficient than we're seeing, but because of money, we're not seeing it.
Yeah.
Or you know, engineering design changes that the juice isn't worth the rub. You know, they're like, yeah, you know, we've got synthetic alloys that are stronger than the steel that we use for a lot of these cars, but retooling for it, it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to cost us so much money. And it'll take us 15 years to recapture that. We don't even know if the design can sustain 15 years anymore. Yeah. So then they say, nah, we'll just keep making the same inefficient buckets that weigh 4,000 to 5,000 pounds. And guess what? The engines, the energy density that you can explore from fossil fuels will only give you so much horsepower, so much ability to move so much mass. So, it's economics.
The genius around Tesla going with the Cybertruck, because they're just like, no, we're going to make this and we're going to invent whatever we need to along the way. Coming up with new manufacturing techniques for stainless steel, because people are like, you're crazy if you're doing stainless steel. But they're just like, no, this is the challenge, and we're gonna accomplish it, because you know, look at all of the things that have come out from even just the Cybertruck's announcement. Now we're in a world where all the major players want to get an EV truck out there. Because, like, it showed that, yes, there's a demand for an EV truck. And they're like, oh, okay, we'll make an EV truck now. But yeah. Ford wasn't thinking, you know, EV truck, you know, 10 years ago.
No.
So now here we are.
No. I mean, yeah, they pushed the envelope. They forced the hand of the legacy manufacturers 100%.
I definitely remember, yeah, I think somewhere in on the Tesla subreddit, somebody told me years ago, they were like, okay, cool. Tesla did their part, but now they need to step out of the way and let the big boys. And I was okay. Like, bro, what are you? Who's... You know, it made zero. It was Reddit tough guy talking or whatever.
Well, I feel like Tesla was the only, is the only car manufacturer that can do what they did with the Cybertruck, right? Because you have an owner, or the head of your company is crazy, right? But in a good way. Some would argue in a bad way, but nonetheless. But he's a genius, right? And so he takes chances. He goes, let's do it. Hey, we want to put stainless steel. Let's put stainless steel. Well, how are we going to put stainless steel? Well, we'll build machines for it. Like, and he has the money to do it, and he doesn't care. You know, when you have a lot of these other manufacturers, they look at every penny and go, do we really want to do that? Do we need to do that? He goes, I don't care. We're going to do it. And
it's out of principle.
Almost. Let's just, exactly. Yeah. Let's just do it. I don't care. Let's just do it. I want to do it.
And that is kind of one of the cool things about the Cybertruck, again, is that you've got all these people designing vehicles at all the different EV and ICE vehicle manufacturers. You've got so many people designing cars where it's like, all right, it swooshes like this, but what if it swooshed like this? And then you have somebody like Tesla who's willing to put out a product that's like, what if it looked like this? And then everyone's just like, what? You know, it's very specific of a look and an aesthetic in a way that I feel like it's not immediately explicable. And that gap leaves a lot of room for commentary, especially negativity. But yeah, I mean, I think that they went and did something bold. And there's a part of me that I will be like, you know, say what we will, because Elon is crazy. But say what we will about him, the fact that he at least embraced what I assume to be Franz's design for this truck and what they came up with. I mean, I drive the thing around and I dig it when kids are like just seeing my truck and they're just...
Exactly.
Like, they don't know what they're looking at. And it's like, come on, these are the eyes that are taking in the world for the first time. And they're looking at this truck being like, that's freaking different. That's awesome. You know, that's something that's inspiring, you know?
Hell yeah.
It's not the end all. Like, I don't think my parents are going to get one anytime soon, but it's just awesome.
Well,
push the needle.
We have a comment from Adventures of Tesla Tino. He is stating there are roughly 3,900, I'm assuming Cybertrucks, in customer homes today. And then he goes on to say that his Cybertruck has 8,139 miles, and he picked it up on March 4th. So he's putting some mileage into his. But I wanted to talk
about 2 months, so that's 4,000 a month. So I mean, 48,000 a year. Jeez, buddy.
Yeah.
Hopefully you don't have Tesla's insurance, because we talked about that.
Yeah. Wait for that premium. But he mentioned the 3,900 in customer homes. So I did see something recently, and I looked it up. I'll pull it up right here. About how many are actually produced and out on the road. So this gentleman says that he was at Tesla in Plano, Texas, and he saw Cyber Beasts with VINs in the 5,000s,
yeah,
which sounds kind of high, but and Dual Motors in the 8,000s.
Yeah, that's where, like, I don't believe the NHTSA number. I don't think that's accurate at all. Which it raises the question: where did the gap come from? Like, where did they get that number? And is it like the gap between like Tesla employees and regular people? Or what? We really don't know. What does seem to be apparent is that the Cyber Beasts are kind of skipping numbers. So like there's like some in the hundreds, and then some that just skipped. So, like, just to give a rough estimate, it seems like for every 20 dual motors, there's one sub-release produced, because they're not as rampant as the duals.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of room for question as far as, like, what's going on. We even had the report, you know, 2 weeks ago now, that they were up to 1,000 a week, and that was when we were still seeing just 5,000 vents. Now we're seeing 8,000 vents? Like, that's a lot of questions of, like, okay, how many are actually out there?
That is actually, we didn't touch on that with the earnings call discussion. The 1,000 per week is what they're claiming now, right?
Which is about a third of the full speed. Because if they're full speed to do 200,000 units a year, that's 3,800 trucks a week.
So like a quarter.
Less than a third.
Yeah, like a quarter.
And then also...
which seems high. I mean, it seems like
ramp,
that. I mean,
remember that the ramp for the Model 3 was employee deliveries, I think, in June. And then it took them until December that they were delivering 1,000. So, I mean,
much faster
for Tesla to have gotten to 1,000 a week in
within
two
the first
months
3 months
of effectively really kind of ramping. Yeah, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, that is. I mean, and you're right. I think the Model 3 was, June, I think, is when they started. And I didn't get mine until March the following year. And I was at 10,500, you know, my vent. Yeah. So,
well, the first one I saw in person was in, like, December when I was at Disneyland. And it was there was, like, one. And I was like, oh, crap, there it is, you know.
Well, needless to say that the Gigafactory was kind of built for this purpose in mind. So I'm sure that all of those kind of manufacturing needs were met from day one.
Exactly. Just another comment from Bill. Bill mentions we're talking about the, you know, Ford and legacy truck manufacturers. His comment says, Elon didn't have to worry about ticking off his longtime truck buyers that expected the classic truck. If Ford did that, did the Cybertruck, their F-150 sales would be hurt. So it is true. It is true, right? They already have a built-in customer base that is expecting a certain type of truck. They go way just totally different with something like the Cybertruck, and it's like a bomb going off.
Yeah,
Eric, you said that you've been into trucks for a long time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So it's like, I think that, and it's something that I've noticed, but I've never been a part of. I've never in my life owned a pickup truck up until the Cybertruck. And it is astonishing to me how it is a culture. It is a lifestyle. Yep. It is a people who are like, I will never drive anything else until the day I die. Like, you'll never catch me driving a Civic. They just are trucks. And it's just kind of impressive. It's like a cultural, like that ingrained of a thing. I think that. So I think that all of those companies, it's like, all they can do is be like, tougher. Yeah, it's stronger. Yeah. It's, you know, I think that I remember, I think it was like 10 years ago, I think one of the manufacturers changed their truck bed to like partial aluminum and got a huge call out because, like, it's cost effective because they thought they were going to rhino line it, but there were plenty of people just doing rock and bare metal, would throw tools in the back and would just punch right through.
I remember
that. And it's like, yeah. And man, the truck owners were really pissed about it. So
yeah, it's definitely cultural. Like my dad had a 92 F-150 full 7-foot bed, so single cab, but it also had a dual motor or dual tank. So I don't even remember the range on that, but he could take it for miles. And then after that, I had a 2015 F-150, drove that for like 6 or 7 years, and then now sold it to get the Cybertruck. So definitely, I remember definitely a cultural aspect to it, because we would go to Thanksgiving and my uncle, he was a big Chevy guy, and we were all Ford family. So it was definitely like digs going both ways, the bow tie versus the Ford. Now it's cultural, starting with Cybertruck. Like, this is a phenomenon.
And I think then what ends up happening is you just sit there and go, okay, well, I'll just go ahead and wrap my truck to look like a Ford F-150.
Hashtag wrap of the week.
Hashtag wrap of the week.
I question, because we saw this leak like way early. Like, this was like November, like October last year that we saw this kind of leak out.
Yeah,
the
when
internet.
The RCs were floating around.
Yeah. No mention of it ever again. What was this? Like,
this is
we
just
don't have an answer.
It's a wrap.
I know, but like,
but it's
why?
Just it's just, you know, some guy that wants to troll. He's trolling.
I love it.
Yeah.
I hope it's someone who had an RC and just decided to wrap it for the lulz. I think that would be the best story about this.
And if you really look at it, even if you look at like the window, like look at the windows on the driver door and the passenger or the door in the back of this driver's side.
Yeah, it's got the little like notch.
Yeah,
like, yeah,
has the window on there. But I do want to get into the wrap of the week, and we have a special one this week.
All right.
I'm gonna go in and pull this one up.
More special than the Cyber Trump?
Yes,
Cyber.
So this wrap is actually our viewer Jay's.
Awesome. Jay.
It's looking good. Satin black, right?
Satin black. He just got it done today.
Okay, that is nice. I'm telling you.
Oh yeah.
I'm telling you, I think that Cybertrucks belong in darker colors or completely blacked out colors like this.
Yeah, and to get specifics, like the trim around the wheels and the base trim as well as the bumpers, they're all obviously black plastic. So any colors you can get to complement the black plastic is good. And then the opposite side, any complement colors you can get to contrast well are also good. I definitely think like bright colors or dark colors are always great.
Yeah. So congratulations, Jay. You are the wrap of the week, and it looks good. So
totally.
Congratulations.
I would definitely be joining you if it wasn't for the fact that we're putting it up on Turo, because I knew that that's very popular and I really wanted it, but everyone else is probably going to think the same, so I didn't want to be...
Exactly.
I need to get mine wrapped. It is mentally exhausting how much hair the exterior of that truck requires.
Hair?
Fingerprints are... care, excuse me.
Oh, care. I was like,
yeah.
Hair on the fingerprints.
Yeah.
It's getting late.
Dumb and Dumber where they did the thing with the dog. Yeah, I just made it look like
it's getting real sticky.
Hairy.
But yeah, no, I can't imagine.
It's fingerprints everywhere. And I'm like, I can't just like wash it. It's, you know, you have to do the compound and washer and stuff, you know.
Yeah. Like ours with the PPF is so much easier. And I'm sure you get. Same with the vinyl, Eric, of like having, you can just wash it down. I think if anything, just kind of being more cautious for the PPF, I'll take that in comparison to the overabundance of effort it took to clean off all the fingerprints.
Mm-hmm.
It is a chore.
Yeah. I would love if I was to wrap it again, I would wrap it probably in PPF. First time wrapping. Yeah. The first time I've done a vinyl wrap was on the Cybertruck. Every Tesla I've had previously, I always put a clear PPF over it, and that's just, it keeps the color of the natural paint color, but yet protects the paint. And the Cybertruck, I said, no, I'm going to go vinyl, and man, the rock chips and everything, I just...
Oh, yeah.
It drives me nuts. But it is better than fingerprints.
For sure. If I could ever convince my wife to get the Model 3 Performance, definitely would be like a matte. Not matte, sorry, satin PPF. It's like, get the black paint, satin clear PPF over top, so it looks kind of matte black.
Mm-hmm.
Can't sell her on 0-60 in 2.9 seconds?
I know. Well, mainly it's the price point. I'm like, it's half the price of the Cybertruck.
Yeah.
That wasn't enough sell. They were like, but what house stuff could we put in that? Okay, fair. Fair,
it's just,
fair.
Just got to be your toy. Well, before we sign off, I have a little thing because I want to show Chase, because I know it's been something that he's been irritated with.
Oh, yeah.
Here you go, Chase. The first...
Wait,
light bar.
Ooh, on a dual? Because that's...
Well, it's an aftermarket product.
Aftermarket.
That T-Sports line is selling. All right.
Well, hold on. Let me Google
this. Somebody chopped into the top to wire it in.
Wow, I know that's what you've been waiting for. You've been wanting your light bar, so...
I mean, now that I see that, I kind of want it.
crack out the credit card real quick.
Yeah.
Because I want it so bad. But yeah, legitimately, if this is like T-Sport is doing their own own bar, hell yeah.
Is there an additional, scroll down a little bit, Eric. Is there an additional light bar like underneath the beneath the windshield?
Oh, yeah, what is that?
There's the laser?
There's
the lights. Yep. There's the two what do they call those?
Spotlights, I guess. What you call it.
Yeah, there's it's slipping my mind right now. But yeah, there's additional lights like on the hood. So it has the light bar and the additional lights. And this light bar connects to the 48-volt that's on the roof. So
yeah.
You have the capability of turning it on and off via the touchscreen inside. I mean,
I'd want to have like a motor on it so you can also like tilt actuate it or tilt it to whatever if you want to light up more.
Yeah.
Quite literally just commented on that Instagram post.
Oh, yeah. Did you? Oh, that what you said?
But no, seriously, I think, like, I don't know, it kind of goes on the list of stuff. With Tesla, it's just like, we also haven't seen Cyberbeast get their light bars yet. So
no, I'm not going to lie, that would piss me off if I had waited for the Cyberbeast and I didn't get that delivery.
Yeah, we're close to closing out April. I still don't know where my aero caps are.
Same.
No contact, nothing.
Well, mine are in the garage.
You're like, they can stay there.
You can sell those things at a premium. People have been looking for them.
I've told you, I've already had an. I think the highest offer I got was $2,000.
What?
Take it.
No,
take it
I told,
or sell them right
no,
now.
No, I told Sir. The guy to go fly out, fly a kite.
Even if they're like slightly damaged?
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. I don't
You're
know.
Really but... betting on this historical
yeah, I really am.
Token. Hell yeah, dude.
I really appreciate
that. You say it that way, I'm like, hey, I'm a nerd. Keep it in the box, you know, do what you gotta do to maximize.
Well, that's why I took them off. Because after the sideswipe and mine got scratched up a little bit, I think I could get it fixed. I think someone can kind of buff it out. But anyways, because it's not that bad.
Yeah.
I just right then I went, you know what? These things are like collector's items. They're rare. There's only a few hundred out in the world. I'm putting them in the garage, never going back on the car. Even though I like them on the car, I'm never putting them back on the car because then one freaking flies off and I never see it again. Then I'm going to be kicking myself.
And it's also, like it's coming up on 3 months. I'm like, I'm surprised that there aren't like aftermarket AeroCap wheels designed by people who are being like, yeah, those other ones that they're going to give you guys kind of look stupid. Here's something we're making or something, you know?
Yeah, and they really do look stupid.
So close. I have to like click through like 1,000 links to get to the link to just buy the. Oh, there we go. All right. It's $850. Hell yeah.
Okay.
Let's go. And it's on sale. Marked,
holy crap.
Marked down from 1,000. Thank you. But yeah, 850. There we go.
But yours is showing 850? Wait.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody, to tonight's episode of Keep on Cyber Shopping. Chase is going to spend some cash.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was looking at it, too.
He's like, bah, light bars.
I like that they do have kind of like a beefier mount, kind of reminiscent of what Heavy D Sparks kind of manufactured. Like they're kind of like mounting it further back for some stability. That's nice. Yeah, this has to happen. Like 850 is a sold me on that.
And just to just because I'm picking a mine up tomorrow, let me see if I can find this thing real quick.
I was gonna say, is this the light thing?
Yeah, so let me just pull this up real quick. Give them a little shout out, why not, right?
Hell yeah.
So
if it's who I'm thinking of, yeah, they hit me up too. They're like, hey, we don't do this. I'm like, do I need to ship it out to you guys or how's this work?
Yeah.
Nemesis. Oh, hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
So I'm picking mine up tomorrow. It already has this on there. And
yeah, I would love to know how this actually works and how they're like I hope to God it's not like one of those like little like you know those tiny like remote controls for like RBG things that's controlling it. I hope it's more fancy than that.
Well,
of how this actually works,
you're gonna find out tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
So I'm picking it up tomorrow.
It ties
so.
Into the Tuya smart home app or something like that.
It's a Philips Hue integration. Now, let me see if I can... Oh, here we go. Pull this up real quick, too. Sorry, we're kind of... Our viewers are probably like, what the hell are these guys doing? Ben, so here...
Storage.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
So yeah. The black one's mine, the blue one is someone else's.
New season of Knight Rider looks sick.
So, yeah, that's something too. And I've been talking to them over there as well about doing a light bar and doing all that. So, we'll see. But, all right, you guys have anything else?
I think that hopefully this light bar comes in time for next week.
Yeah, I think we did a lot. We went over an hour and a half just because there was a lot to talk about. Yeah.
Yo, the earnings call was yesterday. Come on, that took up a fair amount of time. That was a lot of discussion.
Yeah.
Model 3, so, I didn't expect that. I mean, there's a lot of good things.
Yeah. So, all right, gentlemen, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and to next week.
Cool. See you
later.
Yeah.